Okay, this is lecture number 19, Old Testament Survey. We're going to briefly discuss the book of Ezekiel. Take a look at Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 3. Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 3. The word of the Lord came expressively to Ezekiel the priest, son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chebar. And there the hand of the Lord came upon him. And so this is the prophecies of Ezekiel. Ezekiel is the author. He is a priest, but he's also called to be a prophet, and he ministered in Babylon. So he was one of those taken captive, he has a message from the God of Israel to the Jews who were in Babylon and have been taken captive by the Babylonians. The readers are the Israelites. By Israel, what I'm talking about now, by Israel I mean both the northern and the southern tribes, because now they're all kind of getting together now that they're all captive in Babylon, because the Babylonians knocked off the Assyrians who had taken over Israel in 722 B.C. So whatever Israelites still kept their identity were reunified with Judah during this time. So the readers are the Israelites, both Judah and Israel, especially those in captivity. Look at chapter 2 and verse 3 of Ezekiel. Then he said to me, "Son of man, I am sending you to the sons of Israel, to a rebellious people who have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day." Take a look at verse 3:11. "And go to the exiles, to the sons of your people, and speak to them and tell them whether they listen or not. Thus says the Lord God." So the exiles, these are the Israelites that are in exile in Babylon. The date of this writing is between 593 and 570 B.C. are the best dates I had. I don't know what the dates the books give, the Talk Through the Bible book gives there. Somebody could try to look that up, that'd be good. But the dates I have are between 593 and 570 B.C.
It says 593 to 570.
Okay, so there is a disagreement of 1 year there. And it's no major thing, like I say. The approximate dates. Ezekiel was taken into exile with the second group. Okay? Now, the three times, remember what we were reading? What was it? The end of Jeremiah? Where there's three different times the Jews were taken in exile, different groups were taken captive by the Babylonians. First was about 605 or 606 B.C. Second was about 597 B.C. And the third was 586 B.C. Okay? Apparently, Ezekiel was taken in exile with the second group, 597 B.C. Daniel might have been taken with that first group. I'm not sure. I have to look into it. But Ezekiel mentions Daniel, because Daniel's already got a big name in the Babylonian Empire at this point. And so he does mention Daniel's name later on in this book. So Ezekiel was taken into exile with the second group. The theme of Ezekiel is that God's glory has left Israel due to her sin, but God's glory will return when Israel is restored. Let me repeat that. The theme of this book is that God's glory has left Israel due to her sin, but God's glory will return when Israel is restored. So there's all kinds of prophecies that are slamming Israel and remind them that God's glory is left, but there's also beautiful prophecies of the millennial temple and the glory of the Lord filling it. Outline of this, not even to write on the board, I'll just give it to you verbally. Chapters 1 to 24, his judgment is pronounced on Judah before the fall of Jerusalem. So what you have here is what they mean by the fall of Jerusalem. They don't mean the 606 fall, they mean the 586 BC fall. So you have the judgment pronounced on Judah before the fall of Jerusalem. God's prediction that the destruction will occur. That's in the first 24 chapters. Judgment pronounced on Judah before the fall of Jerusalem. First 24 chapters. Chapters 25 to 32. Judgment is pronounced on the Gentile nations. 25 to 32. And then chapters 33 to 48 predicts the future restoration of Israel and the glory of Jerusalem. Chapters 33 to 48, the future restoration of Israel and the glory of Jerusalem. So let's take a look at the first part, the first section, chapters 1 to 24. The judgment pronounced on Judah before the fall of Jerusalem. Take a look at chapter 1, verse 28, Ezekiel's vision of God's glory. It says, as the appearance of the rainbow and the clouds on a rainy day, so was the appearance of the surrounding radiance. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord when I saw it. I fell on my face and heard a voice speaking. So he receives these visions of the Lord, but he's constantly receiving visions of the glory of the Lord. And that's why that theme, God's glory leaving Israel due to her sins, but God's glory, a promise that God's glory will return when Israel is restored. But he receives the vision of God's glory in chapter 1. Chapter 2 and chapter 3, Ezekiel is commissioned by God. Look at chapter 3, verses 17 to 21. Son of man, I have, he refers to constantly as son of man. Son of man, I have appointed you a watchman to the house of Israel. So he's he has to stand in the watchtower and be a watchman for Israel. And when he sees enemies invading, he has to call out and warn Israel. Well, in a spiritual sense, Ezekiel is a watchman. Son of God, I have appointed you a watchman to the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, warn them from me. When I said to the wicked, you should surely die, and you do not warn him or speak out to warn the wicked from his wicked way, that he may live, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you have warned the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered yourself. Verse 20, again, when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I place an obstacle before him, he shall die. Since you have not warned him, he shall die in his sin, and his righteous deeds which he had done shall not be remembered, but his blood I will require at your hand. However, if you have warned the righteous man that the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live because he took warning, and you have delivered yourself. Basically, the key there is, God's punishment is going to come upon, scholars disagree whether it's death, it's physical death or spiritual death, but Israel is, the Jerusalem is going to be sacked, the temple is going to be destroyed, even more damage is going to be done than was done 20 years earlier in 606 BC. Those who continue sinning, God is going to bring devastation on them, they're going to be killed, but those who repent, they're going to be spared in one way or another. But the key is that Ezekiel has to prophesy. He has to do his job as the watchman. Once he does his job as the watchman, then whether they stand or fall is on their shoulders. I preach on Sundays. once I preach, I've done my part, and I encourage others to live a godly life, but then they've got to take it upon their own shoulders to live a godly life through the power that God's given them. But if they don't, as long as I preached, I did my job. Well, it's the same with Ezekiel. He was commissioned by God as a watchman. So long as he held true to it and proclaimed the message, then it was on the people's shoulders whether or not they were going to live for God or not. Take a look at chapter 13. There's a prophecy against the false prophets. These guys are a lot like the false prophets that opposed Jeremiah. Some of them might have even been the same guys. Ezekiel 13 and verse 3. Thus says the Lord God, woe to the foolish prophets who are following their own spirit and have seen nothing. These guys are mustering up their own visions from their own inward sinful desires and their own imaginations. They're not getting a message from God. Verses 10 and 11 of Ezekiel 13. It is definitely because they, the false prophets, have misled my people by saying peace when there is no peace. And when anyone builds a wall, behold, they plaster it over with whitewash. So tell those who plaster it over with whitewash that it will fall. A flooding rain will come, and you, O hailstones, will fall. And a violent wind will break out. You see, whenever somebody wanted to repair the walls, they said, don't worry, the Babylonians will never invade again. We can just whitewash over it. Instead of building a stronger wall, let's just do some cosmetic work and we'll be all right. And Ezekiel is saying, no, God says there is not going to be peace. You're going to be judged. Prophecy against idolatry in chapter 14, verse 6. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, repent and turn away from your idols and turn your faces away from all your abominations. And so a prophecy against idolatry. Judah's unfaithfulness is mentioned in chapters 15 and 16. Look at chapter 15, verse 8. Thus I will make the land desolate because they have acted unfaithfully, declares the Lord God. They were unfaithful to the God of Israel. Therefore the land was going to become desolate. Chapter 16, verse 17. You also took your beautiful jewels made of my gold and of my silver, which I had given you, and made for yourself male images that you might play the harlot with them. Verse 21, you slaughtered my children and offered them up to idols by causing them to pass through the fire. That was a worship of a Canaanite god, Molech, where they used to offer children up in the fire. So Judah was unfaithful and was worshiping many false gods. And so the destruction of Jerusalem is predicted in chapter 21, verses 1 to 3 of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 21, verses 1 to 3. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face toward Jerusalem and speak against the sanctuaries, and prophesy against the land of Israel, and say to the land of Israel, thus says the Lord, behold, I am against you, and I shall draw my sword out of its sheath, and cut off from you the righteous and the wicked. And so, prediction of the destruction of Jerusalem there in chapter 21, verses 1 to 3. Judgment is that was the judgment pronounced on Judah before the fall of Jerusalem, the first 24 chapters. Chapters 25 to 32, judgment is pronounced on the Gentile nations, just like in Jeremiah, Ammon, Moab, Edom, Philistia, Tyre, Egypt, Sidon. All these different Gentile nations, I'll repeat them one more time, Ammon, Moab, Edom, Philistia, Tyre, Egypt, and Sidon, judgment from God is pronounced on all these Gentile nations. Now, what's interesting, I want to look at the king of Tyre in Ezekiel 28, much like the king of Babylon, a prophecy about him turns into a prophecy about Lucifer, the one who empowered him. The same goes with the king of Tyre. Satan is also mentioned here as the ultimate power behind him. In fact, look at Ezekiel 28, verses 1 and 2. The word of the Lord came again to me, saying, Son of man, say to the leader or the king of Tyre, thus says the Lord God, because your heart is lifted up, and you have said, I am a god, I sit in the seat of gods, in the heart of the seas, you are a man and not God, although you make your heart like the heart of God. By the way, it says, verse 3 there, behold, you are wiser than Daniel, there is no secret that is a match for you. Daniel's already a famous guy in Babylon at the time Ezekiel is writing this. And Daniel is famous for being very wise, and this king of Tyre actually thinks he's wiser than even King Daniel, than even Daniel, who's a high Babylonian official. And so Ezekiel now brings judgment on the king of Tyre, who has elevated himself to the position of God, and at least in his own mind. So verses 11 to 19, let's take a look at the prophecy against him, which turns out to be a prophecy against Satan himself. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation over the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God, you had the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. This is going back to Lucifer in the garden, right before he led Adam and Eve astray. By the way, I believe that when Lucifer decided to lead Adam and Eve into temptation, to lead them astray, that was his fall. Not everybody holds that view, though. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The ruby, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper. The lapis lazuli, the turquoise, and the emerald, and the gold, the workmanship of your settings and sockets was in you. On the day you were created, they were prepared. You were the anointed cherub who covers. Cherub is a type of angel, so obviously it's talking about Lucifer. Created, said he was God, though, but was created perfect, had a seal of perfection, was perfect in beauty, was the anointed cherub who covers. And I placed you there, and you were on the holy mountain of God. You walked in the midst of the stones of fire. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created until unrighteousness was found in you. By the abundance of your trade, you were internally filled with violence, and you sinned. Therefore, I have cast you as profane from the mountain of God. And I have destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom by reason of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I put you before kings that they may see you. And by the way, I believe that in verse 16 where it says, I cast you as profane from the mountain of God, that was in the past, the judgment of Lucifer. But then when in 17 it says, I cast you to the ground. I put you before kings that they may see you. That, I think, might be Lucifer getting kicked out of heaven in Revelation 12, halfway through the tribulation period. Verse 18, by the multitude of your iniquities and the unrighteousness of your trade, you profane your sanctuaries. Therefore, I have brought fire from the midst of you. It has consumed you. And I have turned you to ashes on the earth in the eyes of all who see you. There, I think, is the final judgment of Lucifer when he... Before everyone, the great white throne judgment is going to be cast in the lake of fire forever. All who know you among the peoples are appalled at you. You'll become terrified. You will be no more. And so the judgment of the king of Tyre turns out to be a judgment against Lucifer himself. So that's the second section, judgment pronounced on the Gentile nations. Now the third section of Ezekiel, the future restoration of Israel and the glory of Jerusalem is in chapters 33 to 38. Now, in chapter 37, we have the prophecy of the dry bones. How many of us know the song about the you know, leg bone connected to the something bone or whatever. And that was taken directly from this chapter, Ezekiel chapter 37. The prophecy of the dry bones. Look at verses 21 to 23 of Ezekiel 37. And say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will take... There's all these skeletons, these bones were gathering together and forming a skeleton, and then skin was put on it and life was breathed into it. And now he explains it in Ezekiel 37, verses 21 to 23, and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will take the sons of Israel from among the nations where they have gone, and I will gather them from every side and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land on the mountains of Israel. And one king will be king for all of them. And they will no longer be two nations, and they will no longer be divided into two kingdoms. And they will no longer defile themselves with their idols, or with their detestable things, or with any of their transgressions, but I will deliver them from all their dwelling places in which they have sinned, and will cleanse them, and they will be my people, and I will be their God. God will bring them together in the last days back in the land. We see that going on right now. Now, verse 24 says that my servant David will be kingdom over them. And they will all have one shepherd. How is David going to be their kingdom? David's going to be resurrected. And in the millennial kingdom, Jesus is going to rule over the world. David is going to rule over Israel. The Gospel of Matthew says that the 12 apostles will be under David and rule over the 12 tribes of Israel. Paul might rule over all the Gentile nations, but there's going to be Christ. The saints are going to reign with Christ, and Christ will reign on the earth for 1,000 years. But this is what's being talked about, the prophecy of the dry bones. In the last days, the Jews will be regathered from the nations into the Holy Land. We see that going on right now. But then after they're gathered into the Holy Land, chapters 38 and 39 predict that a mighty power to the north will invade Israel in the last days. Take a look at verses 1 to 9 of Ezekiel 38. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face toward Gog, that's the leader, of the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal, and prophesy against them. And say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Gog, prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal. And I will turn you about and put hooks into your jaws, and I will bring you out and all your army, horses and horsemen, all of them splendidly attired, a great company with buckler and shield, all of them wielding swords. Now, just stop at that point first. Magog was a grandson of Noah. Genesis 10 mentions him. And he settled in the northern area. Josephus, a Jewish historian that lived from 37 A.D. to 97 A.D., mentions that Magog settled to the north of the Black Sea and the Caspian Sea, the Black Sea and the Caspian Sea, and to the easternmost parts of Asia, and he identified them with the Scythians. Well, the Scythians basically made up the same amount of land, the modern Soviet Union, Russia, and the other nations that made up the old Soviet Union. These are the nations there, Magog. There are some that believe that Rosh is an ancient name for Russia, Meshach, an ancient name for Moscow, and Tubal, an ancient name for Tubal, so all within the old Soviet Union. And, you know, there was a guy at work, his name is Caesar, and I asked him, I said, is your name derived from Caesar? And he said, no, we traced it back to Kaiser. And I said, well, they've already done work and traced Kaiser back to Caesar. Even Darius the Mede mentioned in the scriptures, they've traced that back, the word Caesar came from Darius. And so you can see over the years, you can trace these things back. And so some scholars speculate that Rosh is an ancient name for Russia, Meshach an ancient name for Moscow, and Tubal an ancient name for Tubal. If this is so, and apparently from the north, Russia and some of the other nations that made up the old Soviet Union may invade Israel in the last days. Remember, chapter 37, Israel is regathered from all the nations on earth into the Holy Land, and then all of a sudden you have this invasion from this confederacy of nations to the north. Verses 5 to 9 continue this on. Persia, that would be Iraq and Iran. Ethiopia, and Put would be modern Libya, Muammar Gaddafi, and Put with them, all of them with shield and helmet. So now you have other nations joining them in battle. Gomer, there's some dispute about Gomer and Beth Togarmah. Some say the Germanys are going to be involved. Others say, no, it's just other parts of Russia. Gomer with all its troops, Beth Togarmah from the remote parts of the north with all its troops, many peoples with you. Be prepared and prepare yourself, you and all your companies that are assembled about you, and be on guard for them. After many days you will be summoned in the latter years. You will come into the land that is restored from the sword, whose inhabitants have been gathered from many nations to the mountains of Israel, which had been a continual waste. But its people were brought out from the nations, and they are living securely, all of them. And you will go up, and you will come like a storm, and you will be like a cloud covering the land, you and all your troops and many peoples with you. And so it's predicting that these nations to the north, possibly Russia and her allies, will invade in the last days. But these chapters also teach that God will defeat the invading nations. Ezekiel 39, verses 1 to 4. And you, son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O God, Gog, prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal. And I shall turn you around, drive you on, take you up from the remotest parts of the north, and bring you against the mountains of Israel. And I shall strike your bow from your left hand and dash down your arrows from your right hand. You shall fall on the mountains of Israel, you and all your troops, and the peoples who are with you. I shall give you as food to every kind of predatory bird and beast of the field. Now, I'm not sure where it is exactly in here, but verse 12 of Ezekiel 39, God is going to defeat, if it is Russia and her allies, God is going to defeat these nations from the north. For 7 months, the house of Israel will be burying them in order to cleanse the land. So they got nothing but dead bodies, dead, possibly Russian bodies. God is going to defeat them miraculously. He may even use America or maybe Europe to get involved and defeat Russia at this point. Everyone knows that if Russia invaded Israel and took over and the old Soviet Union got back in power, that they'd basically have that land bridge connecting three or four continents. Yeah, Tom.
You said
Ethiopia is that big chunk of Africa is Ethiopia.
It's North Africa.
North Africa, yeah. Yeah. So it's all, what it amounts to is Northern Africa, portions of them seem to be siding with Russia, if this is Russia in the last days, and to invade Israel in the last days. Yeah, maybe I'll thanks a lot. Then chapters 40 to 48 speak about the millennial temple. Chapters 40 to 48. So remember, this whole final section is the future restoration of Israel and the glory of Jerusalem. And that culminates in the fact that when Christ returns, he's going to build the temple. Take a look at Ezekiel 43 and verses 4 and 5. The millennial temple. And the glory, let's see, 4 and 5. And the glory of the Lord came into the house by the way of the gate facing toward the east. And the Spirit lifted me up and brought me into the inner court, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house. Remember, we said that the theme was God's glory had left Israel due to her sin, but that God's glory would return when Israel is restored. And here it is, the fullness of God's glory returning when the millennial temple is built by Christ, the Jewish Messiah, when he returns, and then the glory of God fills the temple. In fact, you know, I'm going to read those two verses again, but let's take chapter 43, verses 1 to 5, not 4 to 5, because we've got some important stuff we overlooked. Then he led me to the gate facing toward the east. So the east gate, which is now blocked, by the way, it was the east gate that leads right to Bethany, so where Jesus was visiting with Lazarus and his sisters. Jesus, at his triumphal entry, came in through the east gate into Jerusalem. That's been blocked, but not for long. Then he led me to the gate facing toward the east, and behold, the glory of the God of Israel was coming from the way of the east, and his voice was like the sound of many waters, and the earth shone with his glory. So what he's talking about, his vision here, is of Christ's second coming, when he's riding a white stallion, not a donkey anymore, and he's returned, and he's going to defeat the nations that are battling with Israel. He's going to enter in through the eastern gate. And it was like the appearance of the vision which I saw, like the vision which I saw when he came to destroy the city. And the visions were like the vision which I saw by the river Chebar, and I fell on my face. And the glory of the Lord came into the house by the way of the gate facing toward the east. And the Spirit lifted me up and brought me into the inner court, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house. And so again, the millennial temple. And then Ezekiel 48 and verse 35. Ezekiel 48 and verse 35. The city shall be 18,000 cubits round about. Each cubit is about a foot and a half, so it's a foot and a half. So they're talking about 2,700 feet. The city shall be 1,800 cubits round about, and the name of the city from that day shall be the Lord is there. That's Yahweh Shammah, or Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. And so Ezekiel, keep in mind that theme. God's glory has left Israel due to her sin, but God's glory will return when Israel is restored in the last days, and eventually the Messiah will come and build the millennial temple, and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ will reign in Jerusalem, and once again Israel will be the greatest nation on earth, and Jesus will rule the world from Jerusalem in the last days.